Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'm wound up today. So much so that I ended up shooting a bunch of special reports that are up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com over the weekend. Shot three videos yesterday alone because I tried to tune out. Every time I turned on television to watch a little news, every time I went online to check the news, the Drudge Report, but also other sites, I saw news articles at the Huffington Post, Time Magazine, just everywhere, going after the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Then I was walking through a store and saw one of the Texas papers putting down the Constitution, putting down our republic, bashing the founding fathers. And it just really illustrates the type of tyrants that we're dealing with. And so we're obviously going to be breaking some of that down today. And thank God there is a real media in this country, like Infowars.com, like WorldNetDaily.com. They're not perfect. I don't agree with some of their pro-war views, but overall they'll cover the serious subjects. The DrudgeReport.com and the thousands of alternative media websites and personalities. Natural News, Mike Adams doing a wonderful job. I agree with them about 99% of the time. That's why the system wants to come in and openly start censoring the alternative media. That's why Google admits they've changed their algorithm to start restricting visits to the Drudge Report, to Infowars.com. They wouldn't be doing this if we weren't having an effect against them, just like they wouldn't be attacking the Bill of Rights and the Constitution if we weren't having an effect on the scallywags. Now, when we come back from break, I'll start getting into all of the news. I just want you to know we have Jeffrey Steinberg. He's been the director of counterintelligence for the news weekly magazine, EIR. We'll talk about the economy. They predicted all of this with total precision. The death care known as Obamacare, where that's going. We'll just look at a host of issues with Jeffrey Steinberg coming up in the second hour today. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who really did call this Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation first, when I kind of halfway took the bait and said, I hate the globalists, I hate the IMF, they're criminals, which they are. And this is how these elitists operate, always raping women. And it's true, I mean, it's constantly happening, but I still added the caveat of, but normally they get away with it. They get away with bloody murder if it's Bill Clinton, and you know the list goes on and on with the raping. So I said, I am a little suspicious that New York would go after him. And why was Elliot Spitzer, the governor, who passed a law to take the property and put Johns in jail, why was he visiting $3,000, $4,000 a night hookers? Why was the FBI surveilling him within a month of the hooker visit and ready to use that against him? It shows that they know the corruption's there. They only burn you. Well, he tried to score political points by pointing out that the big central banks were engaged in serious crime. And so they burned Elliot Spitzer. So this whole thing, the point is they're now reporting that she is a prostitute, that she's connected to organized crime. The big tell with the Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation, the thing that really gets my hairs on the back of my neck up is that Sarkozy's Karl Rove, his chief political strategist, and also one of his main aides, separately, before Kahn had even been arrested or was even in the news, put out tweets that he was a rapist and had done this, and later admitted, well, we had spies following him around in the hotel. We had spies in the hotel and following. That's how we knew. I mean, right there, this is his big political rival. But it's a distraction at a certain level that we'll spend 20, 30 minutes on. Also get into the economy with Roberts in the last 30 minutes of the broadcast. But that's coming later. I've got the incredible economic news. They've gobbled up Greece. Now they're saying, oh, we need even more money. Who would have thunk it? We've got a lot of other incredible news. It's all coming up. New TSA news. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July. I hope that everybody was safe out there. And I also hope that when you sat around with your family roasting hot dogs and grilling steaks and hamburgers, that you talked about why the 4th of July is so special. And we're going to be discussing that today. You know, I didn't read the Declaration of Independence last Friday on air. A lot of other talk show hosts did. I didn't cover it Sunday because I figured, you know, people can read that for themselves. But more and more I realized that I need to read the Bill of Rights on air. I need to read the Constitution on air. I need to read the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776 on air, with John Hancock's name big and bold up at the top, along with Thomas Jefferson, signing what could have been their death warrant. Many of them did have family killed or themselves killed, their farms burned down, their property seized. They went through hell because they were tired of warrantless checkpoints. They were tired of out-of-control bureaucracies and taxes. They were tired of only the aristocracy. Only the aristocrats who had inside connections were allowed to engage in major commerce and business. They were tired of the fraud and the tyranny of the British Empire. And what we're facing today is nothing less than the vestigial remnants of that repackaged in a global corporate model. And of course, at the same time, many Brits also supported their countrymen in the colonies and realized the tyranny they were facing. So we're going to be talking about some of that today because I shot a couple videos covering this over the weekend because I was so angry about it. I'd turn on talk radio. I would open the newspaper. I would visit my own websites and see all the mainstream news articles that we were linked to, demonizing the Constitution, demonizing the Bill of Rights, demonizing our constitutional republic, the founding fathers, all of it. And selling collectivist, crony collectivist globalism. You know, a fellow when I was at the anti-TSA demonstration last Monday, not yesterday, but a week ago, before that, Monday before last, to be technical, and a fellow walked up and he said, "I hear you use crony capitalism." And that's the term that most academics use for the system we live under, academics that are being honest. But he said, "Why don't you use the term crony collectivist, because that's really what it is." And I said, "You're right. But to try to get people to change that term and use a more accurate term, I've got to now for the next few years, and we'll see if we can get into widespread use via your recommendation, start using the term crony capitalism," which is, again, in the introduction of the new term, crony collectivism or monopoly collectivism. Fat cat collectivism, fat cat monopoly collectivism. I mean, really, the best term for it is corporate fascism. They use socialism at the grassroots to get people on their payroll independent so people don't know the joys of true freedom and liberty and the real free market and voting with your dollars, voting with your business choices, and the incredible animating societies that builds, the empowered societies that builds. Everything the globalist does, whether it's in schools, getting rid of grades, or dumbing the education down where they spend maybe an hour on reading, writing, and arithmetic now, and the rest of the hours in diversity training and in environmental tattletale training and law enforcement classes in 6th and 7th grade. We've gotten the curricula now 10 years ago, learning how to spy on your parents. I mean, this is flaming out in the open, tectonic level, on fire, stomping up and down like an ogre on top of his tyranny. It is fire breathing, flaunting tyranny, just running all over us in a psychological warfare and attempt to break our will. So after I cool down a bit, because I want to be focused here, I'm going to get into the all-out assault a little bit later in the hour on America, on the Constitution, on the Bill of Rights. I shot the video yesterday. It's gone particularly viral, titled "Media Attacks America on Independence Day," and that's exactly what they're doing. The United States is only more dirt, more real estate, another banana republic, like China or Mexico or North Korea, or Venezuela or Nigeria. It's another thug run with a bunch of plutocrats on top. Another command and control society if you don't have that Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and if we don't enforce it. And the system's great at blaming the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our system on the tyranny and the corruption. No, it's since we got away from the Bill of Rights and Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the spirit of 1776 and the animating contest of liberty. It's a fight even when you're awake and doing everything you can to have freedom. The founders weren't perfect. The idea was beautiful, though, and ideas are bulletproof. They are transcendent. We are transient. Ideas are transcendent when they are based in truth and animated in the great contest when you put it into action, when you will it, when you begin to realize your place in human destiny, that you are transient. Like the lilies of the field, but that ideas and the human species, if we don't destroy ourselves, will go on forever. And in the justice we commit today will ring throughout eternity, even if our species died. The evil you do today will ring throughout the universe. Martin Luther King said, justice, that the universe bends towards justice. And I see those out there in our society who have consciously decided to be unconscious, who've decided to be willfully ignorant, and how they worship at the feet of corruption and the dark power of evil. How they get off on laughing at those of us that care, laughing at those of us that have a heart, laughing at those of us who believe in justice and dignity and who know we're all imperfect but are striving for something better. The cynics are the greatest cowards. Because they just go along with the system thinking they'll be left alone. They're smart enough to make a subconscious and even conscious calculation to go along with the evil. I will not be counted among those timid souls. Go from us in peace. Forget that we were your countrymen. In fact, may your chains sit lightly upon you. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Because slavery is a crueler master than death. Being a coward, caring what people think about you, being too timid to speak up and stand up and be involved, that is a death that it has to be endured thousands of times. And I will not live in fear. I will not give in to it. It is not my master. I commit my full will and everything I am in the service of humanity and liberty and its animating fire. I'm going to control myself right now. Of the pantheon of news I have here in front of me, here's one that particularly sickened me. Yeah, he was a socialist, but he meant well. You go back 80 years ago when his thought processes had already matured, talking about Ernest Hemingway. The choice you had was fascism and black uniforms and Kurtzel helmets and Benito Mussolini, or it was socialism, the banksters financing both sides, we now know in hindsight, put out that offer. And many well-meaning people went and became socialist and communist because they believed that was the system that was countering this. Later, they learned about Stalin and the rest of it. Many of them turned against it, like George Orwell, real name Eric Blair. But I have been touched by the novels of Ernest Hemingway. I read some of them when I was young and had enough life experiences to then read them and to know that he was putting a lot of real things that happened to him and things that he saw and things that he reported on during the Spanish Civil War as a reporter, like For Whom the Bell Tolls. And it was known at the time, decades later, after World War II, that Hemingway was internationally respected. He was calling for peace. And the FBI began harassing him and harassing his family and persecuting him. And when he said they were harassing him and tapping his phone, they came and arrested him and took him and gave him shock therapy until he was almost a vegetable. And he was so depressed that his intellect and his deep mind that gave him access to his soul had been burned away. He committed suicide. And they called him at the time a conspiracy theorist. A conspiracy. They took the conspiracy theorist and they strapped him down and ran blue lightning across his cerebral frontal lobe, left and right hemispheres. They ran electricity hundreds of times through his brain in the hatred of his humanity and his heart and his soul. They turned him into a zombie and then kicked him out on the street. And it didn't matter that his family and others said, yes, we're being harassed. They said, you're a conspiracy theorist, and they arrested him, and they murdered his mind. And now it's all been declassified. The harassment, the surveillance. Oh, the conspiracy theorist. Ernest Hemingway, murdered by the New World Order. That's why the globalists are going to kill me. I'm not even worried about it. I love life so much, I'm willing to give up my life. I'm not worried about that, but I do not want them to grab me and lobotomize me with electricity or with a knife or drug me up for years in solitary confinement and roll me out drooling. But if they do that, it's okay, folks. That's because they're weak, they're fallen, they're scum, they're trash. But here it is, Ernest Hemingway driven to suicide over FBI surveillance. Ernest Hemingway may have been driven to kill himself because of his surveillance by the FBI, his close friend and collaborator has said. And if you go through it, the Nobel Prize winner, again, it turns out, was under FBI surveillance.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls.
Yeah, reading about Ernest Hemingway and the FBI harassment in his bank accounts, bugging his house, his car, other harassment. They then had him committed with electroshock. And, of course, now they've released FBI documents. They released some in 1983, but it's still a conspiracy theory. And now they've released more. J. Edgar Hoover had a personal interest in the case. He loved to stalk people and harass folks, especially famous people, because he was a egomaniac with no talent of his own. I mean, that's who peoples the psychopathic government and mega corporate crony power structures. Later that month, he was committed for psychiatric care for believing the FBI was harassing him at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, where he received electroshock treatment. He attempted suicide several times before being released. A few days after returning home to catch him, he shot himself in the head with his favorite shotgun at age 61. In the years since, I have tried to reconcile Ernest's fear of the FBI, which I regretfully misjudged, with the reality of the FBI file, wrote his friend, the author of Papa Hemingway. I now believe he truly sensed the surveillance and that it was subsequently contributed to his anguish and his suicide. No, he never tried to commit suicide till they grabbed him for saying he was under surveillance, which is now admitted, his mail being gone through, bank accounts, harassment, you name it, phone calls, people in his yard, all of that. And so then they took him and electroshock therapied him for month after month after month after month after month after month after month. And still, even though this is all admitted, they talk about him like he's a kook. Even when they murder you, it's your fault. Because if you faced the tyranny, if you faced what a sick joke it is to have Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, running all these new wars and calling it peace and telling you it's not war, if you admit you're being lied to brazenly and that they think you're so stupid, they think you're so stupid that you don't know what a war is, or they call the Patriot Act patriotic when it guts the entire Bill of Rights, completely guts 6 of the 10 amendments, partially guts the other 4, the first 10. It's all a sick joke to these people to have all these talking heads on the Sunday shows in one unified attack on the Constitution and how it's outdated and a piece of garbage. And the over-the-top attack on liberty and freedom going on at all of the public schools in this country, at the colleges, at the high schools, demonization of America, demonization of the founders, demonization of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, when it was the greatest expression of human liberty at that point, and it is set up against tyranny to allow tyrants to get the mob all hyped up, the general public to bring in tyranny, and to stop dictators from coming to power. And they've worked around it. They've built giant bureaucracies. They've done their best to erode it. And now they point at it and say, it's the reason we've got problems. Just like they blame free market for the banking collapses, when it's the banks doing this by design, threatening to fully collapse the world economy at a faster pace if we don't give in to their larceny, if we don't give in to their hostage taking of the economy. And then Greece, second bailout, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, your tax money, Germans, British tax money, French tax money. And we're told, oh, it's for those Greeks, and it's all to the private central banks that created the fraudulent instruments and put their people in as the finance minister and the prime minister 2.5 years ago and publicly had meetings about how they were going to bring the country down. Open, naked, criminal activity against society on the surface, and they're not going to stop until we stop them. I know the average person working at the FBI, the average police officer, the average government bureaucrat, the average corporate minion, you're not bad people. You're compartmentalized. You're given fake, false projections politically for why you do what you do. But if you pull back and gauge what's happening in the context of history, there's no doubt this thing stinks to high heaven. I know the last few days I smelled something rotten. Something stinking. I knew there was dead meat somewhere in my backyard. I went into the woods. There was a dead raccoon. Rotten. Well, you can smell the stench of tyranny, even if you try to live in denial. How are you ignoring it? As we accept globalism, as we get further away from the Constitution, Bill of Rights, the money, the liberty, the private property, the prosperity, the dignity, the honor, the pride, it's all drying up like puddles in the Sahara Desert. We'll be right back with Key News. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, let me just scan over some of the news headlines here for you because I've been ranting for 30 minutes. Yesterday, the Drudge Report, drudgereport.com, gave us a little tip of the hat again on July 4th. All the links were read in the news section, but Infowars.com story by Steve Watson was in blue. So I want to say happy 4th of July to the great folks over at drudgereport.com as well. I remember last Christmas, I got a call and they said, have you seen this? And Drudge Report, everything was red, but Infowars.com is a news link. It was green. So thank you, Matt. That's and all the great folks over there. But what we really want to thank you for is helping us fight the tyranny because we're all in this together. They link to this story that I'll be getting to. Ron Paul goes after the TSA. We'll play that coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Congressman to reintroduce American Traveler Dignity Act this week to basically gut and get rid of the TSA. Another big development from prisonplanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson. TSA violates its own policy to stem tide of pat-down abuse footage. And now they don't just tell you to turn your cell phone off or other devices until you've been told you can, or to stay in your seat and fasten seatbelts until the pilot has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. Now when you land, they instruct you as part of the social engineering and conditioning to not videotape when you leave the gate and to train the slaves that they will be punished I have a report here. What is this out of NBC? I'm trying to find the report. Internet doesn't print where it's from. Yeah. Woman escorted off U.S. Airways flight for snapping photo. So there's nobody like the flight attendant to teach you that you're a dirty slave. You don't take a photo of your three-year-old making jokes. You don't do anything of the like. Do that. You're a prisoner, and you're going to learn that. Because men in caves had NORAD stand down, and their passports magically survived the World Trade Center fire, and Building 7 fell on its own, and the Easter Bunny flew around on a magic carpet at the same time as well. And so now you're not going to take photos. And the TSA is now harassing people and lying and saying you can't videotape your grope down or others' grope down, despite the fact that even their own policy says they encourage it. Oh, but then we have Homeland Security training videos that they show TSA showing people taking photos and saying that's a sign of terrorism. No, a sign of terrorism is Anwar al-Awlaki and arguably the number three, number two, or number one. They claim different people are number one or number two or number three. In the top three, al-Qaeda hanging out secretly with the Secretary of the Army and the top brass at the Pentagon when he's on the most wanted list. Or Mutalib, the underwear Christmas Day bomber, being gotten on the plane without a passport. And when the State Department got under pressure, yeah, the sharp-dressed man helping him get on the plane. State Department helper. So powerful, they could order the people to let him through security without the IDs. Oh, the government's really nice people. Oh, but everybody's so scared, we need more security. Remember a week or so ago, without a valid passport or identification, the man... Also, out of Africa, out of Nigeria, he was able to get through all the security and fly wherever he wanted to go. Oh, isn't that nice? It's wide open. It's a joke. Their people are protected. So, but don't you take a photo. Don't you do that. We're going to land this plane at the nearest airport and throw you off and charge you. That's right, with violating federal law. Because federal law is whatever we say is disruptive. It's all part of your dog training how to be a servile slave. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. Before I plunge into the economic news and just a whole smorgasbord of key information, we ran a special last week. And it was one of the most popular ever until we ran out of Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, my newest film. And it was so popular, and all I really care about at the end of the day is getting the information out and being able to fund our operation and to be strong enough to survive different types of attacks. We've been able to do that thanks to your support. We held back like 50 for individual orders for it because in a couple weeks it's coming back in. But I told you that the special to get five of my best-selling films and Mark Dice's book for $29.95 would end. And it has ended. But until this Friday, and then it's completely done, I am going to have a different offer. You can get now Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, The Order of Death, two films, one's an hour and a half long, one's 46 minutes long, two films on one DVD, and four other films, Fall of the Republic, Endgame, Terror Storm, Obama Deception. So that's six films, five DVDs with expanded extras, key weapons in the InfoWar. Remember, you are the resistance, you are the spirit of 1776, you are victory if you wake up and fight back. And Mark Dice's Big Brother book, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, excellent book paralleling how we've become 1984 in many respects, in fact, surpassed it in some respects, absolutely free, and I'm running this again through Friday because at the end of the day, I had no idea of the special. It was just time to end the five DVD special. I said, why not just run it for another week and then add a free book on top? And then now it was so popular, we're going to do it for one more week, or I guess five more days, and then the deal is done. Technically, we'll probably run it through Saturday so people can get their orders in. But the point is, you can now get Dark Secrets. In fact, Bohemian Grove's coming up in just 10 days. You can get Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, showing what the globalists are into, what they do behind the scenes, the gay porn stars servicing the Christian conservative leaders, the bizarre occultic rituals, the alcohol and drug use. It's all on video in my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. And the addendum, when we go back to Bohemian Grove, The Order of Death. So that's 6 films, 5 DVDs, and a book, $29.95, Infowars.com. And also The American Dream, great film breaking down how the banking structure works, how the globalists operate in a cartoon format, great for pop culture people, great to wake up your average mind-numb zombie. This is something that they'll probably watch. Tell them, oh, it's like South Park, and then give it to them. And I don't know if I'd show children under like 12 this, because it is a bit racy. Not people will watch it and go, this isn't racy. I mean, look, by old-fashioned standards, it's racy. By 1950 standards, it is. By today's standards, it's not. The point is, it's a little more worldly and designed for brain-numb zombies, and very well done. The American Dream, 30-something minute short documentary / animated special. Very powerful. Okay. I'm done talking about that. The toll-free number is 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or prisonplanet.tv to see all my films in super high quality, and, of course, the live streams of the live show. Okay, you know what? Let me just control myself. And we all know I've always failed. Just like I said, it's like the old Tootsie Pop ad with the owl, and the child goes to the wise owl, speaking of Bohemian Grove, and says, Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, lollipop? And he says, well, let me see. And he goes, 1, 2, 3, and then crunches into it. He can't control himself. And he says, 3. But this may be the day. Let me just read to you the headlines. Here's economic. ECB will continue to accept Greek debt. ECB unlikely to walk away from Greek banks. Tensions rising between central bank ratings companies. Market Watch, is the U.S. default inevitable? Patrick J. Buchanan, Bill Gates in global push to vaccinate every child on the planet. Because when he's not talking about reducing your numbers massively, he wants to give you a special shot. The U.N. gets caught killing kids worldwide with their live polio and syphilis shots. But hey, these are good people. Continuing, Crownhammer tells Fox News, middle age may never get employed again. Real clear politics. That's up on Drudge Report. Yeah, that's the plan. Job cuts at major banks intensify. IFR. You notice it's in the service sector, because you're not going to have money anymore, so they don't need people to give you service anymore. They have the government to give them tens of trillions. That's Reuters. So record bonuses, record profits for the owners and CEOs and shareholders, but not even for their minions. Continuing, hadn't globalism been good for us? Hadn't it been wonderful? And now they say just get rid of that constitution completely and everything's going to be smooth sailing. It's going to be grand. It's going to be divine. The Weekly Standard, Obama's economic stimulus. Obama's own economist says stimulus has cost $278,000 per job, with the average job paying less than $40,000 a year. That's a great government system. Of course, it's all siphoned off to insiders. That's why that average comes up. Crony capitalism, crony collectivism, just like the big insurance companies wrote the healthcare bill. They called you a racist if you weren't for it, to get all the dumb liberals running around screaming for it. Well, racists aren't for it. I'm for it. Throw me in the oven. Throw me in the fire. Throw me in the lion's den. New York City rationing toilet paper at Coney Island. That's right. Even though it's a big profit center for New York City and you got to pay for the rides and stuff, you get one sheet of toilet paper. So, because see, everything's got to go to the bankers. Over 80 new taxes in New York City and New York State combined the last couple of years. Total control, more bureaucracy. And then you go anywhere where there's city buildings, you got to bring your own toilet paper. And the police now are arresting even pregnant women or giving them tickets if they sit on a bench more than 5 minutes waiting for a bus. So they got all these rules to harass us, but then there's all these videos I was watching. What's his name? Jimmy Justice? I'm going to get that guy on the show where he shows cops smoking in their squad cars, cops parking in front of fire hydrants, going in with their families and stores. Cops come up and attack him, knock a camera out of his hand. But then you do anything in New York. I mean, I saw videos. I never played it a few weeks ago. I played some of them, and I ran out of time, where it shows video after video where cops smoke cigarettes and cigars while they choke an ABC reporter, while they choke other media. They're like, you can't film here. He goes, well, I'm on the sidewalk here. I'm ABC News. There's a big truck right there. He goes, oh, and the cop goes, I told you, starts choking. He goes, wait. And the guy goes, as soon as they submits when they grab him, he goes, okay, I'll move the other side of the street. He goes, no, and grabs him by the throat. The cops are choking him, and they look like something out of a science fiction nightmare tyranny. You know, a lot of dystopic science fiction movies, the cops almost wear like old-fashioned clothes, and they've all got like little pot bellies. And their shirts are real tight, and they look real goonish, and the hats are way down on their heads, you know, over their nose or way back, and their whole mannerisms like, yeah, and they've got cigars while they're choking him. Going, oh, hey, he's going to take care of it for you. Oh, hey, yeah. Oh. I mean, it's like a nightmare. So the cops are just driving around drinking in the squad car, cigarettes. They just get out, waddle up to you. Some are all pot-bellied. Others have got big steroid arms, walking up to even families. Pittsburgh, old ladies come out with their shopping bags. And they go, don't want to lie on the streets. They're like, okay, officer, well, we're shopping. Didn't move quick enough. Release the dog. It's biting old women. And the cops put statements out. This is the way we handle it. We said get off the street. And they're like, okay. They even wanted to grovel. They're like, yes, sir, we were just shopping. Not enough. Yeah, death to America. Death to freedom. Just total goonism everywhere. Now, of course, we cover it in Truth Rising. See, I couldn't cover the news here. Truth Rising. I played it a few weeks ago. It's so incredible. Where they go out in front of Building 7, the new Building 7, Larry Silverstein, owner of the complex. They have a sign saying, you know, Larry pulled Building 7. Or Building 7 was pulled. I forget the exact term. No, that day it was investigate Building 7. You can pull up the video and see the banner. The point is, they're standing on the across the street on the sidewalk, and they've been there over and over again, even jumped through the hoops to get the permits. And these guys show up directly out of Goodfellas Central Casting, with one of them with a pipe. And he goes, hey, I'm not going to play the clip. I played it last week. Right out of a Bugs Bunny movie. You know, how the gangsters act in a Bugs Bunny movie. And I always thought those movies were, like, exaggerating. No. I have experienced in New York police and security people that literally are more gangsterish than the movies. And he goes, listen, I know you don't have a bomb, but I'm going to say you got one. And you're going to get 30 days in the hole. Look who's going to jail. Look who's going to jail. This goes on for 5 minutes. Then the cops show up and he goes, I think he's got a bomb in the bag. And the cops go, you know what he does? This camera's a gun. And they go, that's what tyranny is. That's what North Korea is. Just when these people can come to your house, do whatever they want with your wife. They got the guns. They got the weapons. They got the pot bellies. They got the roids. They got the devil tattoos. They got it all. They got gangster suits and pipes and cigars. Hey, listen here, little boy. You don't do this in America. I'm going to say you got a bomb. And they commit a fake bomb threat, call it in on tape. The police come, go along with it, and say, look, get out of here, or we're gonna say it's a bomb. And Luke goes, okay. And they're so dumb, they even give him the camera back. They call in fake bomb threats on video and release someone they know has a YouTube channel because they can do whatever they want. America is their broke-backed whore. America is here to have cigarettes put out on it like some tortured child in a dungeon. America is here to serve evil. And as long as we got 4th of July and hot dogs and people can flap big giant American flags made in China from the back of their foreign-made pickup trucks, I took a photo of that yesterday and uploaded it to my Twitter channel, twitter.com/RealAlexJones, which I'm really starting to add a lot of interesting stuff to. And see, I'm the conspiracy theorist. I'm the bad man. Conspiracy theory is now being able to tell 2 + 2 = 4. Conspiracy theory is now saying, oh, they've declassified that they did harass and intimidate and then grab Ernest Hemingway and electroshock him until he had no mind and he got out and committed suicide. It's admitted they did it, but because they said it was a conspiracy theory for decades, you are still bad even when it's admitted. And even though we have the police on tape with a fake bomb threat that's a violation of the Patriot Act and state and other federal laws, they don't care because they run America. The government government ships in the narcotics. The government runs the sex slavery. The government puts poison and bisphenol A in your food. The government has made diabetes and cancer go off the chart. Cancer's doubled in the last 10 years. Diabetes has doubled in the last 10 years, and it's set to double again. And they're just going to, and your wives, your husbands, everybody's going to die around you, neighbors dying, children with chemotherapy. You go to the mall now, there's kids everywhere with shaved heads, hair falling out, black circles around their eyes, angel of death murdering them, and none of you will stop them. None of you will stop them. None of you, because it's too important to live in delusions. It's too important to live in lies. It's too important to watch your sitcoms and your dramas. It's too important to live in fantasy land and not be able to admit the evil, just like the Germans couldn't admit the evil of what was going on right under their noses, and the Soviets couldn't as well. Well, not me. I'm still a red-blooded American, and I'm here to raise the alarm in the spirit of 1776 Martinus Friday! There's a woman in the night. She needs help. We'll just write her off. We'll write ourselves off. You understand, we published the Rockefeller Foundation documents where they developed the sterilants in the vaccines in the 60s. We published where they admit over 100 million Americans died from complications. This was published in the 80s from the SV40 cancer virus in the polio shots. And then we played clips on CBC of the developer of it laughing and giggling about how many people it killed. This is how sick these people are. They know how to hide it by stealth, claim everything they're doing is humanitarian and your safety, and we're going to get rid of your individual liberties for the collective good. We are being mopped up. The globalists have stolen the world through fraud, through crony, monopoly, collectivism. Known as crony capitalism, but I'm trying to really get it down to terms that make sense and really actively, properly define what we're dealing with. They are the enemies of capitalism. Once they use a fraudulent system to wreck it, they then blame capitalism and say more globalism, more serfdom, more regulations. That will fix it. That will help you. That will take care of you. That is the solution to all your problems. And I look at all this economic news. I mean, rationing toilet paper. There's money for every government bureaucracy, for shrimp on treadmills, for $15 million Halliburton tarps in Iraq. All these endless wars. And you understand this is the gutting of the country. Coney Island's making money for New York. It's very popular. But it's government run, so they're like, no toilet paper. Says they have toilet attendants that hand you your one sheet. People are like, what? They'll pay somebody to make sure when you're in the toilet, you don't use to. They could buy 100 times more toilet paper for the cost. They don't. It's about control. It's about somebody in there watching you go to the bathroom. TSA putting their hands on your pants. It's about getting in your space, getting in your privacy, breaking your will, teaching you to be a servile slave. I'm sick of it. Watching the tyranny close in on us. ECB will continue to accept Greek debt. And they go on to say, oh, yes, now there needs to be a third bailout in Greece. And then we'll do with that. And then there'll be a fourth and a fifth and a tenth and a 20th. And they're going to implode all the major countries, including the U.S., and say, we'll fix the economy. Just give us trillions more. And you look at who owes the debt. The banksters created it, the six big mega banks. But that doesn't matter. Because the average American only knows about the latest murder trial. The average American only knows about the average football game because from birth, they were set in front of a television set, put into a technical medical trance on record. Look it up. You want Alzheimer's? You want brain damage? You want lower cognitive ability? Watch television. Get into that suspended disbelief. Internet's not as bad because you're doing things. You're moving around in it, the studies show. Radio's the best, even better than reading. Go look at the studies for neurons and development. It goes radio, reading, and on up. I covered studies in the London Telegraph last week. Just pull it up, you don't believe me. So the issue here is, ladies and gentlemen, you probably don't even want to watch this on PrisonPlanet.tv or do it and turn away every few seconds, because even though I'm not sending subliminals or programming or anything, it still isn't good to lower your brainwaves. it still isn't good to just have your brain sit there from the flicker rate and also just by receiving the information. And I've already gone through this before, but when I say blue whale, you see blue whale. When I say red fire engine, you see red fire engine. When I say restaurant fire, you see restaurant fire. When I say your grandmother, you see your grandmother. When I say popsicle, age five, grandmas, you just pulled up popsicle, age five, grandmas. That stimulates your mind. If I show you a popsicle and grandma, I'm showing you a stereotypical grandma, and it also cuts back on neural connections, a lot of other issues. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Tons of news. Yes, it's all.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are Chains, anti-New World Order pro-liberty group that's completely grassroots, and about 99% of the time their intel turns out to be very accurate, says that the federal government, along with the state police and others, confiscated one of the cameras, erased the footage, but that they were able to get it with another camera. We're getting the details right now. We'll see if they pop in later. A report that water is pouring into the reactor there in Nebraska. Now, 3 weeks ago, listeners were telling us this, and the government said it wasn't. And then in 2 weeks into that, a week ago now, they admitted it has flooded and it's on emergency backup power. And the water just keeps rising. There's a lot of evidence showing, and the emails went back and forth with different government groups and the Army Corps of Engineers, that they deliberately didn't release water in the winter and let it build up to crest level in the dams, and are engaged in this flooding to grab property. Wouldn't be the first time FEMA's done stuff like that, and that's the Army Corps of Engineers is now under that. So we're going to be breaking all of that down as it develops. I got Aaron Dykes ferreting into that information right now. I was getting into the economy and just got angry. Of course, the, quote, bailouts, which is just bankers holding your economy hostage to their fiat currency system designed to be impossible at the end of the Ponzi scheme to ever pay back. But they can then hold you hostage to commit all of society, everything to them, to the point of they're handing over people's retirements in Europe. They're now going after private retirements that are 100% yours. Oh, that's welfare for you to have your own retirement. Must go to the bankers. They're slashing any type of social services. And New York City is now rationing toilet paper at Coney Island, even though Coney Island makes the money. Now people won't go. They don't care. It's about driving the economy down. You think the globalists don't know that air travel's way down? You don't think they don't know that tens of billions, upwards of $20 billion a year, are now being lost because of the TSA's activity? Sources CNN. Of course they know. They want to wreck it and then leave one or two big globalist companies left later. This is a command and control, command destruction, shock therapy system, as they call it. Surprise, surprise, Gohmer. Cornyn says Republicans may accept mini deal on raising U.S. debt ceiling. So don't worry, the bankers will get us deeper into debt in their fiat system. That's Bloomberg. Don't worry. The Republican leaders will do what they're told. But Rand Paul says he's going to filibuster it. And think that will rise his profile further. He's been doing everything he said he'd do so far. I'm very impressed. No recession for Obama's 454 White House aides. They'll make $37,121,463 this year. And their rates are going up. Of course, they're laying off a lot of the big mega six banks, their customer service level people, because that isn't needed anymore. This is just a mopping up of the economy operation. A lot of cyber attacks over the weekend, as you know. Secret Service to probe Fox News cyber attack right as they're trying to pass the Cybersecurity Act to put in the kill switch and the rest of it. There's all sorts of cyber attacks going on, definitely linked into all of this. Continuing, I'll have to get to this after our guest leaves us in about an hour. Media attacks America on Independence Day. And I said I saw a lot of examples of it in the video I shot, and even the Huffington Post did the right thing and told the truth. Time Magazine's Orwellian Constitution story refuted. And it's so bad, even the Huffington Post, even George Soros' outfits against it. The elite are not even trying to hide how much they hate the U.S. Constitution. This American Dream blog article at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, if I have time, I'd like to read the whole thing. And they found a whole bunch of examples over the weekend of just full-on, out in the open, we want to get rid of the Constitution. So we're going to be going over that report. Also, George Will, the Constitution is an anti-evolutionary device. Well, the problem is, it was the greatest evolution in political systems towards freedom, tying down government, empowering the individual. The new stuff they always hype and push to you know, it's better than the Constitution, is just classic feudalism, classic aristocracy ruling over us through their tyranny. But we'll be right back. They're just renamed.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Coming up in the third hour, in the last 30 minutes, the former head of policy department of Treasury, the father of Reaganomics, will be joining us to get into the economy, but also the Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation, as they now announce the DA is going to drop the charges. DA set to drop charges versus Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Reportedly, the media is reporting, New York Times and others, that she is a mafia-connected prostitute and that the police don't believe her story. But her lawyers have another idea. I'm not saying Kahn is a good guy. It's just that normally globalists can rape and do whatever they want to anybody and not get in trouble. I talked about New York police openly saying We Are Change had a bomb that they were going to frame them if they didn't leave, saying we're going to frame you. I mean, hardcore super felonies committed on camera, and they give the camera back. Yeah, I just committed a felony. I know you have a media operation. Here's your camera. Leave. Just total confidence. So that's my point. New York is so corrupt that DSK, if he was in favor with the globalists, if they were, you know, happy with him, if he was in good standing, could barbecue children in his hotel room and he wouldn't get in trouble, literally. I mean, in Europe, they're constantly caught doing things a lot more depraved than grabbing on a woman, and that's certainly a bad thing. So we're going to be breaking down next hour, media attacks America on Independence Day, just a full-on assault, the American Dream at Infowars.com has written a key article. The elite are not even trying to hide how much they hate the U.S. Constitution. So they're coming out of the closet and saying all our problems of the Constitution. When you notice we've gotten away from the American system and everything's falling apart, their answer is, hey, you're not feeling bad and not being able to hold a job because you're mainlining heroin every day and taking more and more of it. You need more heroin. Or you're not having liver disease because you're drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels every night for 20 years. The problem is you're not drinking enough Jack Daniels. So New World Order, globalism, corporate fascism, crony, monopoly man, collectivism, whatever you want to call it. I call it piratical, corrupt, mafia, masquerading with 21st century PR programs, gang raping us. I mean, there's no way to describe this disgusting system with just words. It's all coming to a head. Also, Bill Gates, of course, who openly says he wants to reduce world population forcibly. He's got special UN vaccines for you. He's also famously said, you know, we can hire 10 teachers if we kill grandma. Newsweek, the case for killing granny. When we say, hey, your Obamacare will kill people, and it lets the insurance companies actually reduce care for big HMOs and makes you buy overpriced health care. It was written by the insurance companies, all on record. Their answer is just to say, you're a racist. You don't like black people. And you're like, what does that have to do with it? Shut up, racist. And then meanwhile, you say, well, it's death panels. Oh, death panels. Yeah, whatever. Meanwhile, they admit they're death panels. They admit it's these federal boards. In Europe, in England, they admit you wait on average 18 months to get brain cancer surgery that is almost 100% operable if it's done within 6 months. I've seen the debates in the House of Commons. This is all planned out, all planned out. And Bill Gates gets up there and giggles about his death panels because he's the humanitarian. And our next guest has done a lot of work exposing that. You know, I want to cover the waterfront with him today. You can disagree with some of their solutions. And, you know, the Washington Post has called them extremely right wing. Other media has called them Marxist. I really think the best way to describe them is complex, and I want to get Jeff Steinberg's own view on themselves, but we had Lyndon LaRouge on last week, so why not have Jeff Steinberg on this week? He's been the director of counterintelligence for News Weekly magazine, EIR, founded by Lyndon LaRouge in 77. He's an investigative journalist with over 25 years. Steinberg has written and presented lectures on subjects ranging from who runs the international dope and weapons cartels, and over the years I've just found out their analysis is spot on. To whom is behind the cover-up of Princess Diana's murder, and most recently, who authored 9/11. He also has an in-depth knowledge of the cover-up of President John F. Kennedy's assassination. I want to talk about all of this. And developed extensive knowledge on the inner workings of the Justice Department, FBI, and DEA. In recent years, Steinberg has directed a number of special investigative projects for EIR, resulting in a series of feature packages on subjects such as the coming fall of the House of Windsor, would President Bob Dole, it just goes on from there, over some of his famous treatises. He broke down Zbigniew Brzezinski on September 11th. LaRouchePack.com or LaRouchePub.com are the websites. And I want to cover the waterfront here with Jeffrey Steinberg. But Jeff, first, in 2002, as you know, over 1,000 pages of IMF World Bank documents got released the week after Nobel Prize winner Joseph Stiglitz left. He says he didn't release them, wink, wink. And Greg Palast put them out, of course. And in there, they admit the 100-point-plus plan was 112 points of how they go in, buy off politicians, get them in debt, have them sign over the nation's real estate and infrastructure. Then the corrupt dictator leaves. They implode the country, cause rioting, bring in austerity, which causes more rioting, more austerity, selling off the infrastructure. The country never gets out of debt. It's all fraudulent. But that now they were going to do it to the first world nations, and now they've done it. And admittedly, most of the debt in Iceland, Ireland, in Greece, in Portugal is not owed by the people. On record, in most cases, over 90%, and some it's down in the low 80s, is owed in Ponzi schemes, in derivatives, as you know, the banksters created, the big six megabanks, with the Queen of England and the Netherlands and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers sitting high atop it openly. And how painful is it for you to know this for 30 plus years, to speak about it, write about it, to now watching it all come to a head as they globally conquer everyone out of their fraud, out of their Ponzi schemes, calling for a bank of the world to pay our carbon and VAT taxes to, and to see them implode countries, literally shut off the social services, toilet paper in government buildings in New York, you know, all of this, knowing that it's a black hole of debt designed to reduce us to absolute slaves. And now it's in the news today. Financial Times of London, you name it. It's up at DrudgeReport.com, Infowars.com as well. It's all up there today where they say, oh, guess what? We need another bailout now or Europe will collapse. And then you give them another bailout and then it'll collapse and another and another and another. And the same threats we saw here 3 years ago when Henry Paulson threatened martial law, they did the same thing in Europe. Tanks in the streets, blood, martial law. Jeffrey Steinberg, what is going on here? When is this going to end?
It's going to end when the Ponzi scheme is burst, when an alternative policy is put in place. And I think that we're a lot closer to accomplishing that, particularly here in the United States, than a lot of people think. Look, You put the fundamental issue on the table. For decades and decades, we cataloged and documented the absolute genocidal looting of the developing sector, whether it's Africa, Latin America, Southeast Asia, exactly what you said, creating a debt bubble, going for asset stripping, depriving the countries of their basic livelihood, resulting in massive population reduction, all on their agenda. Now they're trying to do it in the first world. They're trying to do it in Europe. And, of course, they're trying to do it here in the United States with the policies that really began with when Greenspan came in as chairman of the Fed and on behalf of J.P. Morgan broke up the whole Glass-Steagall system that had hamstrung the banks from looting the savings of households and giving out any kind of credit for investment in the real economy. So now we're at the point where in the House of Representatives, you have a Glass-Steagall reinstatement bill before the legislature. It's H.R. 1489. It's got about 20 co-sponsors now. And our perspective is to overwhelm the White House by having the majority of members of the House of Representatives co-sponsoring the bill to where people like Barney Frank can't dodge the bullet and prevent it from coming up to a debate and vote on the floor of the House. Same thing in the Senate. We're expecting any day now a Senate version pretty much identical to the captor bill. This is a flank to bankrupt Wall Street. This is not just simply a way of reconstituting commercial banking. Like a chargeback of an unauthorized charge on your credit card, we're going to charge back at least $17 trillion in gambling debt accrued by the big Wall Street banks and by some of their European friends, particularly in the Interalpha group of Lord Jacob Rothschild.
Jeffrey, stop right there because I want you to get into Rothschild and all that in more detail, but I don't want to just glaze over the important things you're saying. They admit that customer service banks, lending banks, private sector banks are disappearing. They're being gobbled up by the regulators run by the big six banks who put their people into all the main positions of power. They admit that the customer service level of banks and actual lending for the economy is shutting down all over the world, despite them being flush with banker bailouts. And that they're laying people off at banks everywhere. I mean, this is a planned implosion. This is economic genocide.
That's exactly right. And we're going to make sure that it doesn't succeed. And that's the fight that we're in right now. You've got a mood in the country where there is an absolute sense of betrayal by this president, by Wall Street. And we've been at public meetings all over the United States. The 4th of July recess was a perfect opportunity. The Progressive Caucus had a series of policy forums. We were in Milwaukee and Detroit and Harlem and New York City. And when our people got up, our candidates in particular, and raised the issue of Glass-Steagall and bankrupting Wall Street and reconstituting the viable commercial banks that are needed to protect depositors' savings, to issue credits into the real
economy. Tell us what the people did when you said that when we come back. Jeff Steinberg's our guest. I'm Alex Jones. We've got the head of counterintelligence at EIR, Executive Intelligence Review, Jeffrey Steinberg. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. I'll probably keep him 5 minutes in the next hour because I got him on a bit late. He's joining us via video Skype, connecting so you can watch him streaming live at prisonplanet.tv if you're over there, prisonplanet.tv. Okay, going back to Jeffrey Steinberg, I want to get into a host of other issues to really look at who these people are, but you were getting up to the point of speeches all over the country with your organization, and when you talked about Glass-Steagall, going after the banksters, the response you got.
It was electric. Standing ovation, and in all three instances that I'm referring to, there were several members of Congress on the podium who were co-sponsors, including in one instance Marcy Kaptur herself, and there were other members of Congress who had not yet signed on, and universally every one of them, when they saw the reaction, said, count me in, I'm on board, and we're holding their feet to the fire. We're going to see what happens by the middle of this week. We expect to see all of those people now on as signatories. We're going for the jugular against Wall Street at a moment when they are most vulnerable. They're hated by the American people. The bailout is despised. Geithner is in there knowing that another $1 trillion bailout is going to be needed to save the big six before the end of this year. And there's no political way that that's going to be tolerated. In Europe, you've got literally nonstop rioting in the streets of Athens because people are just completely fed up with the sellout of their government and the fact that Maastricht and the Lisbon Treaty is a banker's dictatorship straitjacket on them. This is not going to go down in Europe, but in particular in the United States. We have a history, we have a constitution, and we have a remedy for solving this problem. We're going to basically take that $17 trillion in bailout money and charge it back to the brokerage houses and insurance companies and reestablish a full wall of separation so that commercial banks do what they're supposed to do. Take deposits and issue loans to businesses, home loans for mortgages, and let these gamblers basically choke to death on their own bad debt.
Well, what is their end game plan? We've seen what they've done in the third world, but attempting this in the West, they've gotten away with it so far while imploding society. I mean, all the indicators, all the data is coming in on the societal meters and control panel here. The instrumentation shows we are in a serious crisis, and they really think they're just going to run implosion after implosion, looting and stripping after stripping, with more looting on top, selling us that they're the good guys. And anybody that criticizes the private Federal Reserve is some type of terrorist. That's not going to hold water. I mean, more and more the human cry is, get out the guillotines.
That's right. Remember the attitude of Percy Shelley. He said, we are many, they are few. He was talking about the oligarchy, and it's absolutely true at this moment. They selected Obama as their instrument. They intend to try to go for some sort of pretext for dictatorship, but the odds of them succeeding are very slim. The real key question is not whether or not there's going to be a revolt. There is a revolt already, and it's going to get much, much louder and much nastier. The question is, will there be an alternative policy, or will the anger spill over into just uncontrolled chaos, in which case their agenda, as you mentioned earlier, of massive population reduction is what's going to happen? That's the key question. Is there leadership? Is there a policy to bring about an economic recovery to basically cast off this completely illegal parasitical gambling debt from the backs of average citizens? And will we go back to a credit system based on commercial banking, federal credit to be issued through the private banking system for viable projects to create jobs and rebuild our economy, starting with basic infrastructure?
But then meanwhile, the banksters fund a lot of phony libertarian groups, and I see myself as a real constitutionalist / libertarian, but I don't like labels. You know, they're too simplistic. But meanwhile, they finance all this, quote, free market stuff that, oh, you can't finance any public works projects because that's socialism. Well, what is it when you give tens of trillions to offshore banks that don't pay taxes? I mean, I'm against socialism. But, I mean, if you're going to have government projects, then it should be the people. But then I get back to, if we're going to have bailout money or we're going to print money, at least issue it to small businesses. How about that? How about just have lending? How about the currency be controlled by the government and the Congress as it's supposed to, as the founder said? Stay there, Jeff.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do
about you now. We're winding, my friends.
And all the roads we have to walk are winding.
All right, going back to Jeffrey Steinberg of LaRouchePack.com, our site's InfoWars.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv. We're streaming the radio show live right now in multicam, full color shoot for PrisonPlanet.tv members. I want to thank the members out there. Going back to Jeff Steinberg, you know, I want to shift gears now out of what's happening economically after we cover one more quadrant, because I got, you know, I want to pick your brain on so much more dealing with their agenda. I remember 15, 16 years ago when I was already on air, folks mailing me executive intelligence review, and I'd already done a lot of research and found your analysis to be accurate, but even going deeper. And now, 16 years later, I know that it's even worse than you guys even report. This is so off the chart, where they admit in published books and documents that the healthcare is to deny you care and train you and kill you. And, oh, you don't need glasses or eye surgery. How about a cane? Or we're not going to treat that brain tumor. Or we're not going to, I mean, this is, and then they cloak it and call it liberal. Then they have fake Republicans like Mitt Romney endorsing carbon taxes and global warming, and who wrote the healthcare bill in Massachusetts as the model. And it shows how they control both parties. What is their global goal if they're not stopped? What will they do? What is their exit strategy from command destruction, from a post-industrial world, as Maurice Strong and the head of NASA Space Center, Goddard Center says, Al Gore, Ted Turner, just a few months ago in Cancun, Mexico, saying one-child policy, global tyranny, endorsing infanticide. I mean, people expect Hitler with a mustache on. That was in the 30s and 40s, folks. It's shown up different this time, and because it masquerades with a lisping NPR affectation, people go, well, you're whispering at me. I'm just going to lay down, and you can run over me. Who are these people? What is their endgame? What's going to happen in Europe now? They're gearing up for, obviously, a giant new war as a smokescreen. This is insanity.
Well, look, take it from the top. Just take a look at the British royal consort, Prince Philip, who's one of the founders of the World Wildlife Fund back in 1960, 61. He just says it outright. Reduce world's population by 80%. There's a top economic advisor to the German Chancellor Angela Merkel named Schellenhuber, who basically spreads the whole global warming lie and says that the world population, the carrying capacity, is actually reaching the point where it's under 1 billion people. These people reject the most fundamental thing about what it means to be a human being, which is creativity, the ability for scientific discovery to improve the universe. And so for them, they have a utopian fantasy that they can go back to some kind of postmodernist form of feudalism where somehow or other the world population is reduced by 80% by wars, disease, and famine, and somehow or other they will remain unaffected. Bertrand Russell wrote in 1953 that if we could perfect the method for having a black death once every generation, and we could determine who lives and who dies in that process, then we would have the kind of world that would be safe and happy place for oligarchs like him. These people ought to go back and read Boccaccio, the Decameron, which was Boccaccio's account of the delusions of the oligarchy in Europe at the time of the 14th century Black Plague, where they also thought that somehow, by bloodline, they were immune to what was going on all around them. And they're not. So there's no question that they are doomed. The question is whether or not the rest of mankind is going to go down with them.
That's right.
Or whether we're going to put together an alternative policy.
That's right. The social engineers, the Anglo-American eugenics proto-Nazis, I wouldn't call them neo because they... Hitler, of course, was a extension of that, openly funded by absolutely openly funded by the Rockefellers, who fund Bono now, and of course Bill Gates. I mean, he's an open subsidiary of the Gates Foundation. He doesn't pay taxes, but goes around telling you that middle class should have its taxes raised. I mean, these people are nightmares of evil, and I'm glad folks are rioting in Europe whenever Bono. Shows up. But there's something on top of this, Jeff, this transhumanism And I don't mean all the flavors of it, but the dominant one, coined by Aldous Huxley's brother Julian Huxley when he wrote in 1951, Hitler has, and you can pull this up, folks, Hitler's discredited eugenics because he went too far too fast. We're going to rename it transhumanism and promise that all of this tyranny and genetic engineering and the rest of it will extend life and make us transform. So they sell their takeover, and they sell, and the elite sell the public going back to nature, but really they're delusional. As you know, it's being pushed everywhere now, in the transcendent man and the rest of it, that they're going to live forever. Here's the Daily Mail today. Dawn of a new age. The first person to reach 150 is already alive and soon will live to be 1,000, claims scientist Dr. Aubrey de Grey. And then you've got all the rest of these people pushing this. So at the highest level councils of the globalist system, this is what they're obsessed with. Whether it's real or not, they think, like some Ian Fleming book, Moonraker, they're going to kill all of us and then inherit the earth and go up on some Mount Olympus and live forever like Zardoz. I mean, these people are nuts. Please talk about it.
That's exactly right. They are nuts. They have delusions, but I think it's more important to realize that basically this is the essence of the oligarchical system. It's the essence of the system of money power based empire. You could trace it back to Rome and even to earlier antecedents. You had a phase in which Rome morphed into the Byzantine Empire and then into Venice, and Venice relocated to the Netherlands and to England. What you have is a system that says that there's an oligarchy at the top that rules through the power of money, and that the rest of humanity is basically to live in some kind of form of animal or slave existence. So it's that system that has now reached another one of those breakpoints where the Ponzi scheme has burst, and where they are desperately scrambling for a way out of it. You said a few moments ago that that under these kinds of circumstances, they go for war and they go for dictatorship. That's exactly right. We've entered into a new fiscal year as of just a few days ago on July 1st in 47 out of 50 states. All of the states collectively are bankrupt to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And in order to basically conform to the Constitution and basically solve that indebtedness for the start of the new fiscal year, they've implemented levels of genocidal austerity. And now on top of that, you've got this whole silly debate over the debt ceiling, in which they're using it as an excuse for further slashing medical care, all kinds of things. The American people are looking for an alternative. And we have the alternative clearly in hand. It's before the House. We also know that to achieve the change in policy that's urgently needed at this time, President Obama needs to be removed from office through perfectly legal constitutional means. It's a scandal in my mind that the House of Representatives has not already convened the equivalent of a grand jury into the president's failure to meet the requirements of Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution in this ongoing Libya operation. It's a clear violation, not just of the War Powers Act, but of the most fundamental issue within the Constitution, namely the fact that we were not to be a monarchy. Kings were not to have the authority to frivolously go to war. It was given to the Congress precisely because we wanted to make it as difficult as possible to get involved in wars. President Obama believes that under the doctrine of humanitarian intervention, which in UN lingo is now called R2P, responsibility to protect, that he can bypass and rip up the Constitution. That is intolerable.
Well, Jeff, we can see the new model of 1984 tyranny, where they call war peace and go around slaughtering everybody. And that's the reason they gave him the Peace Prize, knowing that this was the strategic blueprint. It's all part of the sick joke, rebranding war as peace.
Precisely. So now we've got a situation where many people in the Congress know that the president is in clear violation of the Constitution. So we have an avenue prescribed by the founding fathers for removing a president from office if they've committed high crimes and misdemeanors. And there's no doubt that President Obama crossed that threshold. We also have the option of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, which was enacted in the aftermath of the Kennedy assassination, which laid out precisely how a president may be removed from office with a checks and balances system if he's considered both physically and or mentally unfit to continue to serve. The president's crossed that threshold also. And again, these are issues that are not going to be fought out strictly inside the Beltway because there's a great paucity of members of Congress with the moral guts to act to defend the Constitution. We have a group of 10 members of the House, led by people like Dennis Kucinich, Walter Jones, John Conyers, and others, who filed a federal suit against President Obama for failing to live up to his constitutional obligations. And so the federal court now has this matter before them, and this is what caused the White House to completely freak out and scramble to cover for Obama's flagrant violation of the Constitution.
Well, even Nadler, and of course Ron Paul, but even Nadler, the minion of Obama, right, came out and said, if this stands, the presidency is now a king. I mean, he used the term emperor. And folks don't understand, this is one of the most pure forms of tyranny. If you go back to crossing the Rubicon with Caesar in whatever it was, 45, 46, I forget, before Christ. In fact, we guys pull up Caesar's crossing of the Rubicon for me. Thanks. I forget the exact year. But the point is that this is so out in the open and so ridiculous, and his lie that it would last days, not weeks, and now the special forces are there. They're preparing the ground troops. The Russians have confirmed what the Israelis have confirmed, that what we first reported a month ago, that it's on, cold-bloodedly, always knowing that if they couldn't get rid of Gaddafi, they'd go to ground force, and calling it humanitarian. Now, the corporatist empire, a very dangerous new strategy, and I'd like you to talk to this. Now all they have to do is foment some rebels in the Middle East, North Africa. It's Al-Qaeda, as usual, same folks they use against the Russians and the Serbs. Have Al-Qaeda blow up some police stations, shoot some people. Government fights back against it. And then there's a full-on invasion, and you don't even call it a war. And our media now tells us we must support Al-Qaeda.
Well, look, let's be very clear. The Constitution, the War Powers Act, the debate that went on around the passage of the Constitution was very clear. Only the Congress has the authority to declare war. And if you go back to the early history of our republic and when we were battling the Barbary pirates, Justice John Marshall of the Supreme Court was very clear that Congress lays down very precisely what the president as commander-in-chief can and cannot do. And the minute that the president crosses the line and goes beyond that, he slapped down an order to cease and desist. Now, under even just the War Powers resolution itself, it specifies not only American troop involvement, but if an American commander is involved in a military operation, then that constitutes a requirement of the president to get congressional approval. Who is the commander-in-chief of NATO? It's Admiral Stavridis, who's an American naval four-star. The AFRICACOM came out with a report last week that basically proved that the president was in contempt of Congress when he filed a 32-page memo arguing why he didn't have to come to Congress.
For the first time, they've ignored, for the first time, Jeff, as you know, 3 weeks ago, they ignored the Pentagon's own lawyers that said, you got to go to Congress.
That's right. And this past week, AFRICOM came out and said that U.S. planes with U.S. pilots have carried out over 800 bombing sorties in Libya since the beginning of hostilities, and that at least 160 of those resulted in bombs being dropped on targets. One of the members of the Senate during the early debate last week was grilling the State Department General Counsel, Harold Koh, who's one of the big George Soros men proposing this humanitarian interventionist doctrine. And one of the senators said, well, by your definition, we could drop an atomic bomb on Tripoli, and as long as no American soldiers are in danger, that doesn't count as a war. So it's preposterous, and Obama should be being impeached today. The first order of business, with the reconvening of the House tomorrow afternoon, ought to be canceling all other business and convening the House as a grand jury to consider the impeachment of Obama.
You're absolutely
that, and that's a serious message that the Congress is listening to the American people and that we want a radical change in policy back to our traditions.
Well, if we don't, the sky is the limit, and more Obama wants to use troops domestically and the TSA against the American people. Jeff, we're going to break, but do you agree that we're also seeing a domestic spy apparatus now beginning to be turned loose against the population?
Absolutely, and the president would like to go for dictatorship if he can come up with a pretext to get away with it.
I want to come back and get into 9/11, false flag stage terror attacks. I want to get into Obama death care. Jeff, can you stay 15 minutes into the next hour?
Love to.
Okay, great. And we got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy, Department of Treasury, joining us on a host of other issues. And I want to go to your phone calls, too. Maybe I got to have the show go back to 4 hours. Oh, boy. You know, we'll take a few calls for Jeff Steinberg. Specific, quick questions. I want to hear from you. 800-259-9231. Stay with us.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Ladies and gentlemen, people ask how I have so much energy, how I can work 12, 14, 15, 20, 24 hours straight. I take one look at my daughters and my son, and first my heart melts with love, and then it turns into iron when I realize what I've got to do to defeat these tyrants. It's the law of nature that you're going to have all types of people in society, and that good people tend to become gullible and by increments be trained and accustomed to abuse. And then it gets worse and worse and goes to a crescendo. Governments physically murdered 200 million people last century, starved to death another 300 million. These are conservative numbers. You can look them up. Even the CIA fact book admits that. It's the number one cause of death. Government run by private interest. And the British Dutch East India Company model is the model of the world today. Please get history now. Please warn everyone you know. I've got a deal running, a new deal, through the rest of this week, because we sold out of Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA in the package, where we now have Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, The Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame, and Terror Storm. That's 6 films on 5 DVDs and Mark Dice's book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, free, on top of it, for $29.95. And the paltry profit we make off that funds the TV network I'm building, TV show, excuse me, but I have other plans as well, and everything we've been doing. So I want to thank all of you for your support, Infowars.com, or again, PrisonPlanet.tv, to find out more about all of that. Now, I'm going to have Jeff with us 15 minutes of the next hour. You know, a lot of the ads are at the end and the start of the hour, but we got some time. I want to take a few calls for him before he leaves us. But Jeff, I was getting into state-sponsored terror, but also because I've seen your reports. I've seen it myself, and they're saying it. I've read their books, where they say it's for the population reduction, they're going to kill us, and how the old deserve to die. And then they count on the public not reading all their writings, and we sit here with horror going, these people aren't liberals or conservatives. These are psychopaths. Jeff Steinberg, how do you deal with this?
Well, the first thing that you've got to do is shed the public light on them. A lot of the things that they say themselves, they say out of the arrogant and false assumption that their words are only being heard and read among a very tight circle of like-minded people. So there's a great deal that's to be said for simply sticking to the intensive historical research to give people a framework for understanding who these people are and what they're doing. And that strengthens the population to take the necessary curative action. You know, you mentioned earlier Adam Smith, and I had a laugh to myself because, you know, here was Adam Smith, supposedly the great ideologue of the free market system. But at the time that he wrote, he was working for the largest cartel in the history of mankind, the British East India Company. He taught at the East India Company College, along with people like Jeremy Bentham and James Mill and others. So that is the cornerstone of the liberal ideology that's the poison that has prompted so many people in our own country to forget their responsibilities as citizens of a republic and ignore history. So, you know, warfare has always been the instrument of the oligarchy as a way of keeping populations both reduced in numbers and dumbed down. And, you know, you mentioned the...
Jeff, stay there. Back in 1 minute. Jeff, stay there. We're talking to the director of counter...
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Sarkozy's got to shoot down Dominique Strauss-Kahn. I don't know if the guy's a good guy or a bad guy. I know he's a globalist. But now that the first rape charge is being shot down in the U.S., another one's being brought in France. So they're going to get DSK. You were finishing your point. We're talking to the director of counterintelligence, one of the chief writers and researchers at EIR. You can find out more at LaRouchePack.com or LaRouche. Pub.com, Jeffrey Steinberg. I want to briefly get your take on DSK and then a few other issues and take calls, but you were finishing up a point as we hit break. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think the point is just simply that really having an understanding, a grasp of history, and understanding it from the standpoint that there's been a long-running historic fight against this oligarchical faction that permeates the whole history, particularly of Western civilization from Western Europe, the migration into the United States, into North America, was all about getting away from the stranglehold of oligarchy. And the United States, therefore, does have a unique historical mission, a unique history, and our job is to restore that because there's still a gut sense of that moves around in the minds of the American people, and you see it particularly in crisis moments like this.
Well, that was my next point. That was my next question for you, is we see the awakening accelerating, evidenced by just a decade ago, it took 4 to 6 years for a population to wake up to the fact that a Bill Clinton or a George W. Bush was a fraud. They woke up to Obama, the poll showed, in less than a year, and now he's the most unpopular president in modern history and plunging. Now, when the Republicans get in with a Mitt Romney or somebody and they don't deliver, they're going to be political dog food, fish food in a matter of weeks. And so their little tricks aren't working very well anymore and soon aren't just going to not work. They're going to blow up in their face. And I'm seeing that on more and more fronts. And so they're desperately coming out, bashing the Constitution everywhere as if it's sexy and trendy. I mean, they're really revealing themselves, and I see it all coming to a head. So what can you say? What can you say about that?
The flip side is that you've got a small but growing group of patriots. We see it in the Congress with things like the bipartisan action to reinstate Glass-Steagall, like the bipartisan suit taken out against the president for violating the Constitution. I think that the top leadership of both of the political parties have shown themselves to be completely bankrupt. That's why you've got a majority of American voters considering themselves to be independent of the two parties.
So what happens when they betray us again?
We have to make sure we win before that. We have a very short time fuse in which to win this Glass-Steagall fight, because that's the way we put the onus back on Wall Street. We pull the plug on their Ponzi scheme, and in many cases, these people ought to be being frog marched off to jail. But if we win on the Glass-Steagall fight, that will be the end for the Obama presidency, and we'll see a new combination coming into being that's based on people who put country and the survival of future generations above petty partisan politics. That's what I see beginning to happen. That's what the population absolutely wants. They're responding to those politicians who change their stripes and take that position. And, you know, Mr. LaRouche has put forward very clearly the steps that have to be taken in the immediate days or weeks ahead. And I think that the vast majority of Americans are behind it.
So I think let's talk about what happens if we don't change course and stop the Ponzi schemes, because the system admits the Ponzi scheme is meant to gobble up all wealth on the planet. It's hundreds of times all the real wealth on the planet. They're fraud. If we sign on to it, it's like a lead weight of a trillion tons around our neck being thrown into the Marianas Trench. We'll be right back with some of your phone calls, some other key issues with Jeff Steinberg. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, the Casey Anthony, Kaylee Anthony case is 7 minutes away from verdict. I haven't covered it because the UN admits their carbon tax plans in the Copenhagen Treaty of 2 years ago, if implemented, would kill conservatively 1 billion people from malnutrition and going into starvation within 5 years. 1 billion people dead. I know it's very interesting, very fun to get into the soap opera of a case. I'm not judging you if you do. At least folks learn about court procedure by watching it. But we'll give you that verdict as soon as it comes out. In fact, we'll go live to it when they read the verdict. We'll just tune in briefly to Fox News, foxnews.com. You know, the Drudge Report, drudgereport.com will have all that information as well. It covers the full spectrum of news. We have big breaking news. Libertarian Party asked Florida sheriff to arrest TSA agents. Steve Watson did an article on this. We turn to you, our constitutional sheriffs, to enforce the law in accordance with your sworn duty. That's what I've been saying for the last year. It's now been a year since this TSA thing's been one of the biggest stories in the world, so that's coming up. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts as well. I want to take a few calls for our guests. We've got him until 20 after. Really appreciate Jeffrey Steinberg for joining us, LaRouchePack.com, LaRouchePub.com. I want to go to Doug, Richard, Wendy, Tim, and Aaron. At least those five calls for you with quick answers from you, Mr. Steinberg. But I know something you've really looked at, you've really covered, and have done a sterling job. In fact, I read some of your EIRs online, some of the featured articles, not the thick publication itself, the quarterly or monthly, whatever it is. I mean, I know I get them in the mail, but never have time to read those. I read the online stuff. I saw your analysis and other people at your outfit 2.5 years ago when this fight was just starting, with the quotes and what Daschle written in his book and what Bill Gates was saying and how the insurance companies had written this to cut off care and to take control from doctors and providers away and let the HMOs, you know, control it. And then I would go actually look it up or buy the book. I did a lot of research. I did some of my own as well, and found not only was it true, it was even worse than you were saying, because there's no way to cover it all. And now Bill Gates has come out and said, yeah, we want to kill grandma to give 10 teachers jobs, selling the false idea that if you have a predatory, cannibalistic economy, that for you to have a job, somebody's got to die, selling this play us off against each other economy. Can you briefly speak to what this healthcare monstrosity really is?
Sure. Well, look, the essence of Obamacare, aside from the overall killer austerity, is the creation of literally a death panel. independent payment advisory board is to be given life and death decision making over what medical procedures will be allowed, will be paid for, and which will be basically disallowed. This was what Hitler did in 1939. At the very outset of the Anschluss, Hitler created a euthanasia panel at Tiergarten 4. It was the physical location in Berlin where the offices were. It's identical in every respect to what Obama has created under Berwick and others, so that it's a Nazi policy.
And he'd beta tested it as early as 35 with handicapped children at government orphanages, and they would send the little fake death certificate to the SS on file.
That's right. In 39, they began it in earnest. They continued the policy for 2 years, and there was a backlash against it even during war in Nazi Germany, and the Catholic Church, among others, pushed back, and they had to basically temporarily walk away from it, but they obviously reinstated it on a grand scale with the concentration camps, the gas chambers, all of the rest.
And they had the IBM machines for that, all Rockefeller involved, total scum.
Right, but it started out with death panels, where you had a, quote, independent board of professionals who were using cost analysis to decide who lives and who dies. And that's what we have with Obamacare.
Well, yeah, they had the IBM Hollerith machines for those death panels.
That's right.
Unbelievable. And now IBM again today. For my research, have you looked into Thomas Watson, the big Nazi eugenicist, sure, and how he put a lot of IBM's money into a trust? And that's why IBM is always involved in RFID and tracking and human genome and eugenics, is because literally many of these big foundations, pure mission, these people are obsessed with killing people.
Well, look, you had a meeting in New York City at Rockefeller University about 6-8 months ago, and there was then a follow-on meeting, and the participants were Bill Gates, George Soros, Warren Buffett, and a half a dozen other multi-billionaires who pledged to put all of their, quote, philanthropic money into the most important issue, which for them was population reduction. It's all right there in black and white. So you've got this little wannabe oligarchy group who all made their money in one way or another in speculation and other dirty activity. Soros's big deal is drug legalization and laundering drug money. That's who he is on behalf of the British. So it's a repeat of things that we've seen many times before in history, but now we're seeing it with a real vengeance, and we've got to just make sure these people are crushed before their plans go ahead.
And by the way, at the end of the Times of London article from 2009 in May that you report on, billionaire club and bid to curb overpopulation, and at the end of this article and others, they admit it's a world government to carry out the population reduction. And then you get the Royal Commission from 49, that I know you've written about. They said, we could industrialize, and actually the third world wouldn't have too many children, even in their view, but instead we're going to cut off development, let their populations explode, and then have after-the-fact mitigating things to kill them off, like war, famine, diet, injections, and injunctions, so they let you be born and then kill you. I mean, it's these people make Jeffrey Dahmer look like Mother Teresa.
That's the oligarchical system. That's the essence of it.
These people are beyond evil, and we did put that article on screen that you mentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot make this stuff up. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction. Doug in California, you're on the air with Jeff Steinberg. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jeff, Alex.
Hey.
I'm calling from your favorite place here in California, KSCO Land in Santa Cruz.
Oh, I love it.
I really like the connection you've been drawing between the weaponization of water and how it's been used to control and... what I'd like, and your guest talking about Ponzi schemes, and as you might know, we have one of the biggest agricultural areas in the world here, $4.5 billion. Monterey Bay, it suffers 15, according to Mark Reisner, the worst saltwater intrusion loss in the world through big agri's expropriation of our water supply to export. our water supply, your steel or water. I'd like to hear your guest thoughts on how water might be used and is being used to control us.
Yeah, the takeover of all commodities for artificial scarcity. Jeff Steinberg, say hi to everybody out there in KSCO land. Beautiful area. If I lived in California, it'd be in Santa Cruz. Thank you so much. We want to say hi to all the listeners of KSCO, like Doris Day and, of course, the one, the only, folks, you know him out there as Clint Eastwood. Let's go ahead and get a comment from Jeff Steinberg on that.
Well, look, we've had a complete depletion of the water tables in many, many parts of the country. In other areas, we're getting intensive snows in the winter and rain. We need an effective water management system. It was designed in the 1960s by Parsons Engineering out there in California, called the North American Water and Power Alliance, which would create a modern system of water capture and irrigation through dams and canals, taking about 20% of the Arctic runoff in the spring, funneling it down through the western states of the United States.
Oh, but that's development. You can't have that. That money's got to go to Wall Street so they can fly above our slums in their jets and helicopters.
And not only that, this program would create immediately somewhere in the vicinity of 5 to 9 million productive, good-paying jobs, because this is the largest engineering project that's ever been undertaken in history, and it can be done. You'd create immediate jobs in over 30 states in the country. You'd have a revival of the
old. But Jeff, that's the American system. We're the country that had the big projects, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Panama Canal, when the French couldn't do it. That's evil. That's the American. You know what? I want to do 5 more minutes with you on the other side, and we've got to let you go then. And you've been very gracious, but I want to be able to talk to Richard, Wendy, Tim, Aaron, Keith, and others. But in 30 seconds, I'm going to get one more call in. How would you describe the LaRouche organization? Washington Post calls you right wing. Other media calls you Marxist. What are you really?
Small R Republican and the American system. What you just said in terms of our perspective, that this is a nation that was founded on the basis of a credit system to get away from a monetary oligarchy. If you go all the way back to the Massachusetts Bay Colony, we established something that had no previous history of existence on this planet, a true republic based on a credit system in which it's not a private oligarchy that governments go begging for.
Credit empowers the individual. Credit doesn't create a monopoly for the oligarchs that issue the fraudulent instrument.
Precisely.
Precisely. All right, let's jam in one call, get their question, we'll come back and answer it. Richard in California, then Wendy in Hawaii and others. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, thank you for talking to me, and I really enjoy your guest. I have a comment and a question for Jeff. Jeff, thanks for everything that you're doing. And here's my comment. I hope that you'll take this very seriously, even though it sounds unusual. But
no, make your comment. We're going to go to break. Go ahead.
Okay. The states are not broke, and they're not states, they're corporations, and they're hiding massive money using the broke charade to take us one step closer to martial law. If that could be exposed, I'm looking for...
You're talking about comprehensive annual financial reports and the fact that we've been induced into debt by fraud. He's saying technically all 50 states are bankrupt within the bailout system if we sign onto the derivatives. But I'll let Jeff Steinberg answer that when we come back. Then Wendy, Tim, Aaron, Keith, we'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Money. Doubt in the, what's her stupid name? Casey Anthony case. Better than one guilty person go free than 10 men go. Better than one guilty person go free than 10 innocent men go to prison, I think is the saying. I guess they raised reasonable doubt in this whole thing. But that woman has definitely got a screwed up life now ahead of her. But the defense raised enough of a question of guilt that now she skates, and hey, perhaps she's innocent. All I know is there's bigger fish to fry. Okay, going back to our guest, answering Richard's question, he's talking about the comprehensive annual financial reports, the double set of books, the investments of government, water districts, school districts, state governments, federal government agencies, versus their budget that we know is only one area. What's your comment on that?
Well, all of that's true. And of course, you know, Wall Street has been doing these various insurance swindles that have looted a number of states and municipalities. But the fundamental point is that immediately after our Constitution was ratified, the country was, for all practical purposes, in debt and bankrupt. And in an agreement that was reached between Hamilton, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, who were already sort of squabbling at that point, it was agreed that the federal government would assume all of the debts of the state so that the federal government could engage in the issuance of credit, converting this debt into an instrument for credit for the development of the economy. And in return, the states would not have the ability to carry forward debt from one year into the next. There's all kinds of tricks that have been done by Wall Street to pervert this system. But the bottom line is that as of July 1st, 47 out of 50 states had to basically have a balanced budget. In other words, they had to come up with cuts, firing police, firing teachers, firing firemen, doing other things.
That's the austerity, and it's because we've agreed to be signed on to the derivatives fraud. So you're saying we're bankrupt when we're signed on to this Ponzi scheme. We've got to unsign from that. Wendy in Hawaii, you're on the air with Jeff Steinberg.
Hello?
Yes, Wendy. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello. I think I jumped the gun. I saw two headlines. I had to run out to work at 4 a.m. It's like 8:30 in Hawaii now. I just got home. But I think somebody brought this up on your show the other day about the Australian Green Party, Bob Brown. The headline said, AU Green Party leader admits global warming is really all about world government.
No, that's official Green Party in Australia. They say it's an excuse to manage all human activity for world government. And we posted those reports last Friday. I appreciate your call, Wendy. That's just more of this continuity of agenda, this global strategy. What is the carbon tax? Jeff Steinberg.
Carbon taxes. It's literally an attempt to create yet one more Ponzi scheme, literally out of hot air. It's an attempt to basically have a new bubble that will be explicitly a tax on any kind of modernization, any industrialization, any improvement on the conditions of life. And not surprisingly, Al Gore, through his blood and gore brokerage house in London, has tried to corner the market on the creation of this global carbon swaps futures market based out of Chicago and London. It's a complete swindle. It's based on a scientific fraud, and literally it's an attempt to create one more Ponzi scheme to kick the can down the road of this vast financial bubble.
And it's even more evil because they selectively enforce it, just like Obamacare, where all the insiders, the inner coterie of the oligarchs, they don't have to pay the tax. It's incredible.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
But it's not going to happen because increasingly the fraud of global warming, the swindle, is becoming more and more transparently obvious. And what I'd really like to just say and urge all of your listeners, all of your viewers, is that we're in the process of winning this Glass-Steagall fight. And the more people that get in on this and get to their congressmen and hold their feet to the fire to do something that will be vitally in the interests of the entire people of the United States, this is it. And I can guarantee if we get Glass-Steagall presented before the House and the Senate for an up or down vote, Obama is doomed.
Absolutely. That puts a stake in the globalist heart big time. Jeff Steinberg, thank you for joining us. Look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Excellent.
LaRouchePack.com. Thank you. InfoWars.com is our site. Under Paul Craig Roberts, straight ahead on DSK and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll take some of your calls as well. We'll be right back. Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here live, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, approaching 150 AM and FM stations, number one on podcast and live streaming, according to Shoutcast, Alexa, Google Analytics, StatBrain. The fastest growing media in the United States, under full Pentagon FBI surveillance, death threats, government calling up, admitting they're listening to our phones and then threatening us, telling us what they just heard. I love it. Yeah, I'm doing some real good. I'm hitting pay dirt in the fight against tyranny. I've wanted to be somebody who defends liberty and a warrior in the info war my entire life, and I'm living it. I love it. I strike me down and make me more powerful than you can possibly imagine. I'm committed. I win. Tyranny loses. We're going to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts here in just a moment. We need to stop being afraid. We'll just go to him right now, but I do got some sponsors I got to plug here before we go to this next break. Dr. Roberts, so much is going on. So much is happening. The world is really starting to wake up, but at the same time, the tyranny is stomping around. I want to get into the economy, some of the other articles you've written, but first, DSK, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, no sooner have they announced they're going to drop the charges against him, and this woman's reportedly, according to New York Post, New York Times, connected to mafia, reportedly a prostitute. We have minions of the president, Sarkozy, who he was going to run against. He was already 10 points ahead in most polls, admitting that they put out the news of his arrest before he was even arrested or it was in the news because they, quote, had agents in the hotel. I mean, clearly this is political. A new woman popping up with rape charges. So it looks like they are really after him. I don't know if he's a good guy, a bad guy. I don't like the IMF and globalists. But Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former editor of the Wall Street Journal, head of policy department of Treasury, father of Reaganomics, you called this really first. You had the guts to come out and not defend DSK, but say it stunk to high heaven, like a field full of dead cows or something. What's really going on here?
Well, you know, Alex, we'll never know, but it certainly looks like it's a political thing. It could come from various sources, not just Sarkozy, who was frightened by Strauss-Kahn standing in the polls in the upcoming French presidential election. But Strauss-Kahn had recently been saying things which alarmed the bankers. He said, you know, he was meeting with the American economist, Joseph Stiglitz, who is a big critic of the bailouts of the bankers on the backs of the ordinary people. Strauss-Kahn was meeting with him and had begun raising questions about the use of the IMF in loading the bailouts on the backs of ordinary people. He also said it was necessary to re-regulate the financial system because the deregulation, which was supposed to result in self-regulation, hadn't worked. And he was making other noises that a member of the global ruling class is not supposed to make. And so whether he actually meant them or whether he was saying it in case he decided to run on the socialist ticket for the French presidency, you know, PR for ordinary people, we don't know. But it certainly alarmed the bankers. You see, one of the giveaways is that the New York prosecutor, Cy Vance, put him in solitary confinement in Riker prison on suicide watch until he resigned from the IMF. Then they let him out. Well, if you're a guy, and you see, they did all this before they had even investigated. So they stick him in a notorious prison in solitary confinement on suicide watch. Now, anything can happen to you in those circumstances with those public announcements. And so he promptly resigned from the IMF. Well, there's so many suspicious things about it. It's always, of course, entirely possible that it was all a plot by the hotel maid prostitute, whatever she was. Afterwards, she may have said, hey, I can really get some money out of this guy, and it could all have been her plot. But it would not explain how Sarkozy's political operatives knew of the arrest before the New York police announced it. It doesn't really explain the fact that the New York police, they essentially raped Strauss-Kahn's reputation, didn't they? The way they treated this, the way they handled it.
They doled out details right up front, which they wouldn't normally do to assassinate his character. He was not getting a fair lead up to a trial. He was not getting proper due process. And even if he was guilty, better than one, you know, guilty man go free than 10 innocent people go to prison. And I get emails saying, why are you defending Strauss-Kahn? At first, I was like, well, he's an IMF banker. I hate these people. He's scum. This is what they do. But when I think back to Bill Clinton, who had to pay off all the women for the reports of rape, where he bites their faces to hold them down and all this, Clinton got away with that. You know, the New York police are historically notoriously corrupt. I mean, if Kahn was in good standing with the establishment, he would be left alone, from my research and experience. So this whole array of things points towards that, and his talk of forgiving debt, his meeting with Stiglitz, talking about saying the dollar would be dead soon. All of this, clearly they went after him, and now as soon as they announce they're going to drop the charges, up pops another woman right on time, like rows of shark teeth, like that torpedo didn't hit him, so they're flooding chamber two to fire another one. I mean, this is getting really obvious.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is, actually. Of course, there's an innocent explanation for the second case. It could be that what this woman in France thinks is attempted rape could have all been a misunderstanding. It could actually have happened. She agreed to meet him, apparently, according to the French press, in an apartment that wasn't his address, alone. And she may have sent signals she didn't intend to send, and he may have misinterpreted it. So something could have happened. But, you know, what is attempted rape? I mean, it's not rape.
Nothing. Well, that's this feminist thing where they teach the women in public colleges, as you know, Dr. Roberts, now, that all sex is rape. And right. That even if you didn't like, it's kind of like the WikiLeaks thing. If you didn't like it afterwards, if you didn't like the sex, it's rape.
I know. It's all... ridiculous, and I agree that there's more here than we'll ever know. It does smack of conspiracy. It really does. there are other explanations, but until we can figure out how Sarkozy's operatives knew about this before it was announced publicly, we have to be suspicious. Now, Alex, this French case, it probably came to light now. Another explanation. It came to light now because they had the New York case to hook it to. You know, when it first came up in France that she was going to make this case, everyone was convinced that Strauss-Kahn was guilty and would be convicted. And so that may have given confidence to the French lawyer to believe the woman's story and to bring it forward. But now that the New York case has collapsed, we don't know what will happen to the French case, unless it has a lot of independent strength. And if it does have, you have to wonder why it's 8 years old before it surfaces as a charge. So I don't think we really know about this, but I certainly agree that a member of the ruling global elite would not be treated this way unless he was perceived as a threat.
Well, look at how they let Madoff for a year stay at home and be left alone. We've got upwards of $100 billion stolen. And in every case, I mean, they treat these guys like royalty, even when they're forced to arrest them for something after 11 years of insiders exposing exactly what Bernie Madoff was doing. So the whole thing stinks to high heaven. Now, expanding into the economy, Dr. Roberts. Well, before we get to the economy, the Russian head envoy to NATO says, yes, the ground invasion's on for September, October. The Israeli publications are saying the special forces are going in this month, and then in the next 2 months, full ground invasion. Exactly what I got from Fort Hood, and I got letters from Hood and calls on air when I ask military listeners about it, and since a bunch of other contacts have come into us, that if Gaddafi doesn't fall, they can't assassinate him with these bombs. They now admit they are trying to kill him. If that peace action fails, that a larger peace action, the first cav under 3 Corps, is going to have to bring more peace and more love and more humanitarian assistance to Libya. And I saw a video that we aired live when Tarpley was on with us last Friday. At first, it looked like 200,000. Then they pulled out. It had to be 500,000 or more. He reported grenade launchers on the street, almost everyone with AK-47s. Now it's upwards of 2 million Kalashnikovs handed out, 1 million RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades for folks that don't know what that is. I mean, if just 5% of those people actually aim at a target and shoot, this is going to be hell on earth for the NATO troops. But the man of peace, though, is dedicated to bringing them peace there.
You know, and the whole thing is strictly illegal. It's a war crime. What the United States is doing, what NATO's doing, these are exactly what the Nazis were executed for after the Nuremberg trials. This is naked aggression. It's a war crime. And they can't even claim the cover of the UN resolution, because all the UN agreed to was a no-fly zone. And no-fly doesn't mean to attack the Gaddafi people or to intervene militarily in order to overthrow him. That is not what they had any cover for. So, and the whole world just stands and takes it. And it's obviously illegal. It's a war crime. It's an amazing thing, just like everything else that happens. It's all amazing.
Dr. Roberts, why are you against peace? Yeah. But, I mean, this is a Nobel Peace Laureate who lied and said they'd be there days, not weeks, who lied and said they weren't trying to kill Gaddafi, and now NATO and the top U.S. general admit to Congress they are trying to kill him. I mean, why is lying about a war, lying about how long you're there, breaking international law, national law, trying to assassinate people, arming known al-Qaeda in the East, why are you against something as wonderful? Sir, are you... I mean, why are you so hateful?
Yeah. Well, you know, Alex, we've lost the law. There's no rule of law left. The government is not accountable to law. I mean, Clinton wasn't for Serbia. This really accelerated under Bush-Cheney. And now Obama has validated it, you know, because the Obama administration has ruled that there will be no accountability for any of the crimes of the Bush administration. You know, the torture, the illegal detentions.
That was peace as well. Come on, don't be a conspiracy theory.
Oh, sure. That was all. See, what, you know, peace, what it means, I suppose, is war is peace.
Now, that's more like it. Hey, you're starting to be a little bit more sensible.
War is peace, and we're going to have a lot of peace.
And Dr. Roberts, they've told us that the economy is been out of recession for 2 years, as all the jobless numbers increase, and as a lot of economists say, we're in a depression. But they say war is peace, and they say this is a crackerjack economy.
Right.
And who are you as a Forbes-listed, you know, top economist? Who are you to have an opinion? If you have an opinion differing from the ruling class, you're a conspiracy theorist.
That's exactly the case. That's what I wrote not long ago. Conspiracy theorist is anyone who pays any attention to facts or analysis. And but you know, we can laugh, but it is really serious. It should be frightening to see the United States government, which poses as the light of the world, you know, the model of the rule of law, bringing democracy and freedom, and it's totally lawless. Everything that's done is lawless, and they flout it. And we've now had a case where a federal judge was lied to by the FBI in the court. And he read them the Riot Act for lying to him, but did nothing about it because they claim that they don't have to tell the truth to judges because it's national security.
Yeah, they're allowed to perjure themselves.
Right.
Which is freedom.
That's right. They can break every law. You know, the courts have no jurisdiction. Congress has none. So people really should be scared to death. They should be scared to death.
Well, yeah, because they're getting ready to launch even bigger wars. The economy's imploding. They're setting up domestic police state control grids. That's why they're so confident, because they're committed to go into a hot tyranny in this country, Dr. Roberts. They're committed. That's why they don't care.
I wouldn't be surprised. That everything suggests that, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think a lot of minions of this system have studied history like you and I have. I don't think all the average folks that are kind of going along with this have any idea of the type of horrid creature they're releasing out of that box. I mean, this is hell that's being released.
That's right. They have no idea. I agree. They were all out waving the flags the other day and pretending that they have liberty.
All we've got left is the free speech, and now they're openly organizing against that. More and more calls to arrest conspiracy theorists. Look at the, which means arrest the heretics, the questioners. Look at Cass Sunstein. Look at all of it, Dr. Roberts.
I know. It's amazing that you carry on.
Well, we're going to. Are you kidding? We're really getting a lot of folks to wake up. It's just that people think they've woken up. They need to wake up to just how bad it is. Let's do five more minutes on the other side. I want to ask you about the economy and where you see that going. And this weekend, all the big media attacking the Constitution like it was a dead cockroach or something that needs to be.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
By the way, if you go to top of Infowars.com, it says Infowars Insider. Every Tuesday, we send out exclusive video, exclusive report, because internet's important. There's more and more censorship on it, and email is one of the low-tech ways to send high-tech information. So tomorrow we've got that report going out at 2 p.m. You sign up there with your email. It's absolutely free, Infowars.com. Don't forget, we've also extended that special deal to this Friday, but we ran out of police state force, so we put something even better, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove and The Order of Death, two films with the other four films. So that's six films, five DVDs, and Mark Dice's new book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, absolutely free when you order that Alex Jones Essential DVD pack. We're running that special through Friday, and your purchase makes the broadcast possible. I am basically almost flat out of time, and I got a few more questions for Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. But Dr. Roberts, I don't know how much you watched the news this weekend. I barely even paid attention, and there was a full-out assault. Kurt Nimmo's got a report about it today, but there was a full-out assault on the Constitution that was outmoded, old, bad. But the Constitution is new ideas. The stuff that the establishment's bringing in is regurgitated ancient tyranny. I mean, the classic forms of tyranny, human nature stays the same. What do you make of the system coming out of the closet and saying, get rid of the Constitution and you will be delivered to Valhalla?
Well, they've already gotten rid of it, and we now have a Caesar. And whoever the president is, he's now a Caesar, as long as he's at war. So, and it's up to the president whether or not we're at war. So We have a Caesar. We don't have a representative democracy, and there's no rule of law. Whatever the president does or says is what happens, and there's no check on that, neither from the courts and nor from the Congress. And it doesn't matter who we elect, because that's just a facade. The person in the office is a Caesar. So whoever's there has the power of a Caesar, and that's what we have. You know, like we're at war in Libya without the War Powers Act.
We're at peace with Libya.
Well, in all sense, we're at peace, because war is peace. But
don't be an extremist here, sir. Don't engage in critical thinking. I mean, conspiracy theorying.
You know, my book, The Tyranny of Good Intentions, which came out 11 years ago, I concluded it by saying the Constitution was dead and that the country would soon follow unless there was a constitutional revival, and there's not been one. And no one seems to care. The law schools don't care, the bar associations, nothing happens. So we have acquiesced to a Caesar. I don't think there's any going back. And now the question is, will the economy collapse out from under them? And it could well do, but it may be why we're having all these wars, that what they may be trying to do is to secure control over oil so that the dollar remains the reserve currency and everyone in the world has to continue to pay dollars for oil and therefore use dollars to fund our debt. So it may well be that how they're trying to avert economic collapse is by war in the Middle East and war on the oil-producing regions. So that may be what's going on.
Now, your newest book is War of the Worlds, How the Economy Was Lost, available all over the web, Amazon.com, and also at the bottom of the articles you write at Infowars.com. We have a link to it as well. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, thank you for joining us for some critical thinking, some common sense historical perspective, and also an economic look as the former head of policy at the Treasury. But again, the fact that you have an opinion on the economy is a conspiracy theory, because your opinion differs from that of Obama, that tells us everything is fine. God bless you all. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Retransmission starts now. Now. InfoWars.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Today.